I want to start off referencing the announcement of our premier this past week. We are officially, as a province, in stage two of reopening, and we have received the go-ahead to launch in-person church services. And as you can imagine, there are a whole bunch of stipulations that go alongside of this, but I do want to let you know that next weekend, that's June 21st, it's Father's Day weekend, we will be launching in-person services for those interested in attending. And so I'm just going to ask you to watch for correspondence from us in the days ahead, and we're just going to keep you posted on how this is all going to play out. We will inform you on everything from online registration to our kids' programming and really what you can expect if you do come. Know that we have your safety in mind, and we want to make this the best experience we can within the guidelines we are required to follow. Now, we're going to keep on providing our online services, and we do know our in-person experience, it's going to look and feel different. It's not business as usual, but it's a step forward. And I've said this every week, I miss seeing you in person, and no, I can't wait to see some of you. Now, the other week, I'm going to be honest with you here, I got pretty worked up about something with my kids. And without going into a lot of detail, I was frustrated, I was a little angry, and I felt like they weren't listening to what I thought was the best thing for them to do. Now, if you were to ask them, they were feeling like Dad wasn't listening or hearing what they were saying. And it became a little heated, and we had to take a break in the conversation. And when we tried to resolve the matter, I just made a corporate decision, because isn't that what dads do, right? And it wasn't the decision my kids wanted, but I was like, so be it. I made my point. I showed them who's boss, and I'm leading my family, right? Well, in the days that followed, I was pondering a little bit about it, and I started thinking, Phil, what was the big deal anyway? I mean, they had a point. What they were saying made sense, and as I thought about it a little more, I think the basis for the tension was nothing more than I just wanted things to go the way I wanted. I wanted it my way and nothing less. And my hunch is from time to time, you battle that tension as well. Now, it might not be the same scenario, but it's the tension of wanting to get your own way versus someone else. It's that desire to insist that things go the way we want them to go and nothing else. And here's something I've noticed, especially as I connect with people in my role as a pastor. Individuals will spend weeks, months, even years in this perpetual state of tension because of some little thing that didn't go as they wished or wanted. They will actually spend much of their life complaining and whining about it. They will even get mad about it. They act as if their life hangs on this very issue. And some get so jaded that they live in a state of bitterness. And maybe you know someone like that. Maybe if you're honest enough to look inside, there's a corner in your life where you would say, yeah, I'm kind of like that. Wouldn't it be great if we could come to see that most things in life, when it comes to our preferences, are not major issues? That there is a way to hold things lightly, that not everything is a big deal, and we could move forward in a much freer and easier way. And just to be honest, I struggle with this because at times I can have a pretty intense personality. Like, I want things done right and done well, which, if I'm honest, means done my way. And I'm working through this, and I constantly need to remind myself that a lot of things aren't as big of a deal as I'm making them. Now, I'm finishing off our series entitled The Other 167, and this series was all about spiritual disciplines we can incorporate into our lives to help us know and experience God in every moment of every day. And my prayer has been that during COVID, you would not just put your life with God on autopilot, but you would grow and learn and discover. In fact, you would look back and say, that was an amazing time of spiritual momentum for me. Now, the last discipline I want to talk about, I think, is the most difficult because it's not just something we do, it's something we are, something we need to strive to become. And that is the discipline of submission. And I get it. That word, it's not a great word for us because of the baggage and the negative connotations that go with it. In general, it's mainly associated with authoritative control over someone who doesn't have a choice or a say in a matter. And it can be abusive, scarring, and irrational. But that is not the Christian perspective. Let me give you a way to think about it. Submission is being okay with not having things go your own way. It's being okay with not having things go your own way. In submission, we value people. We value their dreams and their plans. It's the freedom to give up our own rights for the good of others. It's loving people unconditionally. And in this discipline, we learn that we can be set free from anger or bitterness when someone doesn't act toward us the way we think they should. And we've all been there, whether it's a thank you we expected, a phone call that never happened, or a response that felt lagged. Jesus actually said it best when he said it this way: whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. We don't necessarily love or gravitate towards those words. Deny ourselves, take up our cross. Those are submission words. They constitute the aspect of self-denial. And self-denial isn't popular. I mean, our nature and our inclination is much more comfortable with words like self-fulfillment and self-actualization. And I think it's because self-denial itself conjures up all sorts of images of groveling and self-hatred. We believe it means the rejection of our individuality and something that will bring us down. But self-denial is simply realizing that our happiness is not dependent upon getting what we want. It's in submission where we learn to hold light things lightly and right things tightly. Paul, a New Testament writer, said these words: be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. So he's talking about what is God's will for our lives. And he says, live in wisdom. And then the verses that follow, he gives us this bullet list of what wise living consists of. He says things like, don't get drunk, be filled with the Spirit, encourage one another with scriptures and with songs. He says, always be thankful. And then he ends it with this: submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And what Paul is getting at here is a mutual submission that exists between all people who believe in Jesus. And I think it's prudent to take it further and say even with those who don't. Here's what submission is not. And I got to say this. It's not about being a doormat, about being someone who just lets others walk all over you. It's not about the loss of our identity. I mean, the greatest example of submission we have is Jesus going to the cross, but he didn't lose his identity when he went there. In fact, in many cases with people throughout Scripture, it was through self-denial that they actually found their identity. So submission doesn't call us to cower or to let anyone do anything to us, almost feel like we just give in and up to all. It's just being okay when things don't go our own way. It's self-denial. And self-denial isn't the same thing as self-contempt, because self-contempt says, I have no worth. And even if we do, we have worth, or, you know, even if we do have worth, we reject it. Denying ourselves is saying the opposite, that we are of infinite worth and we realize it. Jesus made it clear that the only way to love ourselves is through self-denial. He said it this way: whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. Submission is all about the freedom to give way to others. It's honoring and valuing others. And it releases us from self-pity. Because when things don't go our own way, we all have the tendency to sit and pout. It's kind of the poor me attitude, right? But that becomes fleeting when we put this discipline as a goal in our lives. And I do want to say this, and I need to say this. There is a limit on this. And that limit is the point at which it becomes destructive. You see, submission is an act of love, and when this is missing from the equation, whether it's in marriage, in relationship with others, in workplaces, in parenting, wherever, if this is not present, it can have a destructive impact upon our lives. Because a key factor in this is trust. Trust and submission are interconnected. And it's easy to submit to someone if we know that we can trust that person. It's more challenging when we have a hard time trusting someone. And maybe you're watching and you've had your trust broken. Maybe you've been taken advantage of, and something like this is very difficult for you. And I don't want to diminish that. In fact, those are painful and real experiences that scar us deeply. And I pray for God's healing and restoration in your life in those areas. Remember, the limit to submission is when it becomes destructive. Trust is only built in a mutual, edifying, honoring each other relationship. And if there is abuse, being taken advantage of, or use of authority that is fear-based and unhealthy, that is very difficult. Without trust, submission falls flat. The truth is that even spills over in our relationship with God. The days where we feel like we can trust Him unconditionally, it's easier to follow Him. The days where we feel like our trust has been eroded becomes much more difficult to submit. So in this discipline, we're learning how to put others first. And as Jesus illustrated, leadership is found in becoming the servant of all. Power is actually discovered in submission. Paul wrote it this way: Jesus became obedient to death, even death on a cross. I mean, that's the ultimate form of submission. And in his book, Celebration of Discipline, author Richard Foster says that Jesus not only died a cross death, but he also lived a cross life, meaning he was servant of all. I mean, check out what Jesus did. He shattered the customs of the day by taking women seriously and by being willing to meet with children. He rejected the cultural positions of authority and power. Jesus, who was God and had all things at his disposal, came and lived a life that was servant to all. And it's why he could say, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me." You see, there's a freedom that exists when we live without the need to have things our own way all the time. In its simplest form, let's just think about a marriage, okay? A husband who deeply loves his wife will think about her needs, will consider her, is willing to give into her. He can regard her as more important than himself. I mean, parents, there are times when we need to do this with our own kids, where their needs are more important than ours. And it's present, really, in every relationship we have. And here's what I've discovered, and I would say I'm constantly learning with this discipline. Submission flows out of strength, not weakness. It's out of strength, not weakness. And again, we see this in the life of Jesus. John, he was a really close friend to Jesus, and he says it this way in his book. He says, "Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal." So this was the last meal that he was having with his disciples before he went to the cross. "He got up from his meal, took off his outer clothing, wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him." It was because of Jesus' place of strength that he was able to serve, not as a weak person beaten into submission, but as the strongest person in the universe choosing to submit. Submission is a strength, not a sign of weakness. It takes a lot to be okay when things don't go our own way. And strong people learn to do this. Those who fly off the handle and feel sorry for themselves or get bitter and cause tension, I mean, come on, there's no strength in that. Jesus said, "My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends." That is about giving up preferences, giving up honor, releasing possessions. It's freeing the remote. It's about submission. And I really like how Paul, he's a New Testament writer, and at another time he wrote the words to a group of Christians in Rome trying to figure this out. He says, love one another with mutual affection, and then he says, outdo one another in showing honor. Outdo one another. Okay, so you're watching this, you're hearing me say this. Why do this? Why strive to make this a discipline in your life? And let me tell you, this does take a lot of discipline because it's not a natural one. So why bother? I want to remind you again of what Paul said, and I referenced this earlier. Submit to one another out of what? Out of reverence for Christ. So this means a deep respect, a state of honoring Jesus in all that we do. It means mirroring how Jesus lived. Why? Because following Jesus is the best decision anyone can make, and following involves living like Jesus did. So what does this actually look like in our lives? What I want to do is I want to give you some practical ways that we can live this out. First, I'd say this, submit to God. I mean, there's a whole bunch of things that we want to do, things we might struggle with in life that go against what God wants for us. And submission says, I will subject my body, my mind, and my words to live the way God wants me to live. At times, I will go against what I want in order to do what He wants. And I do this because I trust that He has the best in mind for me. Another way we can submit is to Scripture, meaning we don't just hear or read the word, but we do what it says. It becomes an act of realizing this is the best way of life and what brings fulfillment and meaning. A third act of submission is to our family. We are not only worried about our own interests, but we are keenly aware of the interests of others in our family unit that God has given and placed us in. That means deference. That means listening to other members who think and see things differently. That means being willing to share and work together to not just have things go our own way. And it means refraining from anger and tension when outcomes are different than we wanted. Another act of submission is just towards others. It's those you live beside, those you work with, those you do life with, those you go to church with, those that are less fortunate than you, those who have needs. See, friends, we cannot do everything, but each of us can do something. And it's the little tasks of service that change how you live with those in relationship around you. It's being for people. It's being for Edmonton. And in fact, the next 2 weeks, we're going to be talking about this a little bit more. Another act of submission is just to our world at large. We don't live in isolation. Our environmental responsibility, or maybe the lack of it, affects not only others around the world, but generations yet to be born. So those are just some areas where we can learn submission, but what does this look like in real time, okay? How do we do this without appearing to be that person who everyone can take advantage of? What I want to do is give you some examples in how you can practice the discipline of submission. These are ways to learn to hold light things lightly and right things tightly. So, don't always feel the need to have the last word. Let someone go in front of you at the checkout or in traffic. Take your spouse's preference instead of yours. Pick up after your kids instead of reminding them it's their job. Ask someone for advice or what they think about something and actively listen. Ask for help with something you're doing. These are all practical things that you can actually start today. And what you realize is this is a heart issue more than it's something you do. And what changes your heart? Who changes your heart? It's God. He can make us more like Him. He can come and alter those tensions we live with. He can come and give us the perspective we need. You see, submission creates space for us to look at others the way God sees them. And when we get to that point, we are reminded that others are just as valuable as we are. We are reminded that we are all God's creatures created in His image to bring Him honor. Submission is really learning to hold light things lightly and right things tightly. So are you someone who gets worked up when things don't go your way? Do you live in resentment or bitterness over small preferences? Well, my friend, I want to tell you, there is freedom available. First, it's found in Jesus, but secondly, it's found in the reality of practicing the discipline of submission. And so I want to close by asking you some questions. Who would God want you to submit to today? Who would God want you to put ahead of yourself today? Are you someone who always needs to get your own way? And if so, why? Are you truly okay when things don't go your own way? Let me pray for you. Jesus, I thank you that you modeled this discipline so effectively and so real in your life. And I get it. This is something that is hard for most of us. To give preference to others, to say, I will value what others need and want over myself. And Lord, I pray that you help us in this discipline on a regular basis. I pray that you help us to be okay when things don't go our own way and recognize that in the midst of that, we are learning how to be freer and happier. We are learning self-denial. And so I pray for that person who struggles with this. I pray that even today and going into the week, that they may understand and practice these things in a real way and in a real sense and experience growth and experience your blessing and experience just the understanding of what you meant when we find life when we deny ourselves. And so I ask for that, just that clarity and that perspective inside every single one of our lives. You know, Jesus did the ultimate act of submission by going to the cross. And he laid his life down for every single one of us. He died for you. God incarnate came and he died. And he said, I died so that you can have a relationship with me. I died on a cross so that you can be forgiven of your sins. And I rose again to offer life and life forevermore. And if you're just tuning in and you're saying, you know, I don't know Jesus personally, but I want to know him, I'm going to pray a prayer. I'm going to ask you to pray along with me. And it's just that launching point, that starting point of beginning a journey with Jesus. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you for the ultimate sacrifice that you paid on the cross. And I recognize that today in my own life, I need you. I desire for you to come in. I thank you that my past can be made clean. I thank you that you forgive me. I thank you that you set me free. And so today I want to pattern my life after yours. I invite you to do life with me. And from this day forward, I want to make you Lord and leader of my life. And so I thank you for who you are, and I just give myself completely to you. And Lord, I pray for every person, for every couple, and for every family that's tuned in right now. I ask for your continued guidance, for your continued strength and blessing upon their lives, upon their homes, upon their families. I ask that as they go into this day and the days ahead, may they walk with you, may they know you deeper, and may they practice this discipline of submission, and may they grow in their experience and in their journey with you. Thank you for them, and I pray blessing on them in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, if you prayed that prayer with me here of just inviting Jesus into your life, can I ask you to text the word life to 555-888? We'd love to get a digital booklet inside of your hand that talks a little bit more about what it means to know and follow Jesus. It also gives you the opportunity to connect with one of our pastors on staff if you choose to. Also, our chat host will put up a link in the chat room with the same book, and you can engage with them and with the material that way. I want to say this, next Sunday, it's a big day for us here at Hope City as we relaunch our in-person services. We'll be sending out information and details this week, so make sure to check that out. Thanks for tuning in today. Remember, you are loved and consistently prayed for. Have an awesome day.